We're kind of depleted today. Got a large bunch out in Chicken this morning. We pray that their assembly there is good. A lot of us scattered various places. We thank God for the privilege of gathering today and considering His Word and thinking on Him. We've been talking about fundamental teachings, about the foundation teachings of God and of Christ and of the Bible for the church. The things that are essential. Because a great deviation has taken place these days from God's Word. And the problem is, they don't understand authority. I was going to speak on worship this morning, but one of my good brethren let me know that what we need to understand is the authority of God, biblical authority. Should have talked about authority before I talked about the music God desired last week. Because it's all based on the authority of God. I read that 9 out of 10 of our children lose their faith in their first year in college. And how can that be when people are raised in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because they don't understand authority. The authority is not with the professors in the colleges. All authority is from God. And it's the duty of each one of us as fathers to teach our children the authority that is God's authority so that they never leave it when they move out of our house. The division that took place in the church in the mid-1800s with the movement of the disciples of Christ who went out to be the Christian church and later on into the disciples of Christ is taking place today in the church. And all of this, as they did back then, as they brought the instrument in, as they lose their sight on the roles of men and women in the church, and the roles of elders, and the structure of the church, it's all because of one thing. They don't understand the biblical authority, the authority of God. We want to consider biblical authority this morning. Jesus said, if the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness therein? If the light becomes darkness, it's a terrible darkness. It's a condemning darkness. It's a moving away from truth. We know that God said through David, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. So we want to talk about light. God's word is light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall walk in the light of life. In the first chapter, that's John 8:12. In the first chapter of John, he begins it by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he says in verse 4, he, the Word, the God, was the light, was in him was life, and in that life was the light of the world. We want to consider what authority we do what we do and say what we say. And see how a recognition of that authority will control our whole life, our thoughts, our words, our actions, and our worship that we give to God. It all comes from understanding authority. Jesus says, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. All of it. Matthew 28:18. That is, all authority is in Jesus. The definition of authority comes from the word exousia, which is used 93 times in the New Testament. So authority is a basic teaching of the New Testament. The word means the right to exercise power. Jesus in Matthew 9, when the man was let down through the roof, he said, "Your sins are forgiven." And the Pharisee says, "That's blasphemy. Nobody can forgive sins but God." Jesus says in verse 6, so that you know the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. He said unto the man sick of palsy, "Arise, take your bed, and go into your house." Jesus says, "I have that authority." Authority is not only power, but it is the right to use that power. When you use that word, exousia, we're not talking about power alone. Sometimes it's translated power, but it's more than power. A lot of people have power, but they don't have the right to use it. This word means power with the right to use it. Some people have the right to use power, but they don't have the power. But that word speaks of both of them, the power and authority to use it. It talks about the one whose command must be obeyed. Matthew 28:18, we just mentioned, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. The reading that David just read in John 17, he says, "Father, my hour is come. Glorify thy Son as I have glorified thee." And the authority that you have given me over all flesh, so that them who you have given me, I shall give eternal life. He has authority over all life. We must obey those commands. That authority passed on to the apostles. The apostolic authority was to the extent that they stood in the Word of God. He'll tell the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 8. He says, "Though I glory somewhat in the abundance of my glory concerning the authority that was given by the Lord for the building you up and not the casting you down." He ends the book in chapter 13, verse 10, by saying, "These things write I unto you while I am absent, that when I am present I might not be stern concerning the authority which the Lord gave me for the building you up, not the casting you down." That apostolic authority was for building you up. It is in the Word of God. That is where God has all authority. And all that authority of God is given to man through God's Word. I guess it's through. What is done with authority? We don't want to go there yet. What is done with authority? What do we do with authority? What is biblical authority? How is it used? Well, it's used for teaching and preaching. In Matthew 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, he says in verse 28, "And it came to pass when he had finished these words that the multitude were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as one of their scribes. He taught them as one having authority. The people could see that what Jesus was teaching was not like the scribes. He was speaking with authority because he was speaking God's word. Even Jesus himself didn't take on authority for himself. He says in John 12, passage we know well, 48 to 50, says, "He that rejecteth me and receives not my sayings hath one that judge him in the last day. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I spake not of myself, but the Father that sent me gave me a commandment what I should speak and what I should say. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things which I speak, even as I heard from my Father, so I speak." Jesus says, even himself, Jesus, when he laid his deity aside and became flesh and blood, while he walked on the earth, he said every word he spoke was because the Father gave it to him. That's authority. It come from God. If it's not from God, it's not authority. When Jesus had healed the blind and the deaf and the lame and the sick, and he raised the people from the dead, in Matthew 21, verse 23, the Pharisee says, "By what authority do you do these things? And who gave thee this authority?" You see, they wanted to know where this authority came from. We know the story there. Jesus says, "I'll ask you a question. The baptism of John the Baptist, was it from heaven or from earth?" Well, they took counsel among themselves and said, "You know, if we say from heaven, he'll say, why didn't you obey it? If we say from earth, we'll be stoned because the people took John the Baptist as a prophet." And Jesus says, "Neither do I answer you." Because these people come to Jesus try asking about the authority that he used. But Jesus didn't answer them because they refused to recognize the authority of God. They refused to recognize the authority of the word of God, which God spoke through his prophets. No use to answering him. Clear back in the time when Saul was crowned king, there were some useless people that come along, and it says Saul didn't answer him because you don't have to answer useless people. People that don't accept the authority of God. Jesus says, you don't need to answer them. Actually, there's no way to answer them. When you talk to people about the word of God, and they'll tell you things like, "I don't care what it says, I believe this." You're through talking. Because we stand on the authority of the word of God. And outside of that is not truth. Healing was also done with authority. But if I had my chart up there, I didn't put down healing, because healing and all miracles was only used for the authentication of the person that was speaking for God. He was speaking with all the authority of God's word. And this authority passes on down to the apostles. It passes on down to the preachers. When we speak God's word, we speak with authority. God told him through Paul, 1 Timothy 4:11. He says, "These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to all them that believe in word, manner of life, love and faith and purity." He tells Titus the same thing in chapter 2, verse 15. He says, "These things speak, exhort, and reprove with all authority." Where did they get their authority? The word of God. The word of God is the authority, and there is no other authority. Authority is used in judgment. It's God's authority that is given to Jesus in John 5, verse 27. Jesus says, He gave him, He is God, Him is Jesus. He gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Judgment is to be made on the authoritative word of God. People around us, oftentimes denominational people or people of the world, they like to use Matthew 7. Verse 1, it says, Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you'll be judged, and what measure you might shall be measured unto you. And what Jesus is talking about is judging the motive of a man. I don't know the motive in your heart, why you say what you say or do what you do, but I do hear what you say and I do see what you did. And that's a different story than judging a person's heart. Those things Jesus says in John 7, verse 24, judge ye, righteous judgment. He commands us to judge, but we're judged righteous judgment on the basis of the authority of the Word of God. When we speak what God said in His Word, we're not judging, God is. God does. He tells, Jesus says in Luke, chapter 17, verse 1. Maybe it's going to work now. Okay, what's done? Jesus said, take heed to yourself. I'm in Luke 17, verse 2. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sin, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. So we are to make judgment on the basis of God's word. That's God's righteous word. How is authority used? We're talking about how this authority affects us, how we use this authority. We're talking about the difference between command authority and the authority of spiritual leadership. Command authority, a whole bunch of us out here are military people. And we understand that those that are under officers or non-commissioned officers, they have to obey what the man says. Now, some of those people don't make good decisions. Some of those people are not good leaders. But you still have to obey them. Not because of their ability, but because of their position. That's command authority. Spiritual authority is a different type of authority. And we see it as we see everything, first of all, by the example of Jesus. Jesus, we hear in Acts 1, Luke telling Theophilus, referring to the book of Luke. He says, my former treatise, which I made, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began to do and to teach. That's your authority. All that you'd begin to do and to teach. Clear back 458 BC, when Ezra left Babylon, released by Cyrus the Persian to go back and restore the temple worship. It says in chapter 5, verse 10 of Ezra, Ezra set his heart to seek the law of Jehovah, to do it, and to teach Israel statutes and ordinances. That is spiritual authority. Our example and our teaching. We are not the authority. No man is the authority. The authority comes from God's word. When the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, that's Matthew 19, verse 18 to 22, or Mark 10, 17 to 22. And the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, Teacher, What must I do? Good teacher. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Why did he come to Jesus and call him the good teacher? Because of the example of Jesus. He could see Jesus and know that Jesus was a man of God. He came requiring the words of Jesus. He saw the example. He wants the teachings of Jesus. We know what took place. He said, obey the commandments. He mentioned the last five of the Ten Commandments. And the guy says, I've done them from youth. Jesus loved him and said unto them, go sell what you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. He went away sorrowful because he had much riches. He came to Jesus because he saw the example of Jesus. But he wouldn't accept the authority that came through the Word of God. Many people like that today. But he saw the example of Jesus. He turned away and he refused the Word of God. Jesus presented the perfect example in his living. And he spoke the perfect Word of God, which has all authority. That authority was given to the apostles. Not that they have any authority, but the authority they use is the authority from God, which is the Word of God in Jesus' prayer. Going on from what David read this morning, from verse 6 down to 20, he's praying about the apostles. And he says in verse 8 and in verse 14, both of them, speaking to God, he says, thy word I have given to them. Jesus, as we said before, it's not even Jesus' word. It's God's word that Jesus brought from God. And he's given it to the apostles. And not only that, he said, the Holy Spirit who shall the Father shall give in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever I have spoken. In chapter 16, you'll say in verse 12, many other things have I to speak unto you, but you can't bear them. But when the Holy Spirit, or when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. All truth, all that Jesus says, all things that the Holy Spirit says. Because he says the Holy Spirit doesn't speak himself, Jesus says what he sees from us, he will give to you. God's word is the authority. And anybody that changes anything from God's word, his authority, is showing that he does not accept the sovereignty of God. When you add anything or take anything from or change anything in the word of God, you're telling God, I don't accept your sovereignty. Authority is a serious situation. The apostles were very careful not to let anybody misunderstand what they did. They accepted no glory for what they did. After the church is established in Acts 2, in chapter 3, Peter and John goes up to the temple through the gate, the beautiful gate, a lame man laying there calling for alms. And Peter says unto him, silver and gold, we're in verse 6, silver and gold have I none. But that which I give, given to thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Peter says, it's not me. It's not me. It's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's the authority. For that very act, he's called before the Sanhedrin in chapter 4. And in verse 7 of chapter 4, this Sanhedrin says, by what power or in whose name do you do these things? What power or what name? He's talking about, where do you get the authority to do these things? Peter answers him from verse 7 down to 12. Says that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders, if we're examined this day concerning a good deed done unto an impotent man, how that he stands before you whole. Be it known unto you all you Sanhedrin, and all the people of Israel, that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, who God raised from the dead, in him, even in him, does this man stand before you whole. Peter says, we didn't do it, Jesus did it. He is a stone, which you set at naught, you the builder set at naught, who is the head of the corner, and in none other is there salvation, neither is there any other name under heaven given among men wherein you might be saved. Peter says, we have no authority. Their authority, their power is the authority of God. And he said, it's not us. It's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He goes into the house of Cornelius. In chapter 10, 25, when Peter enters the house, Cornelius falls down at his feet to worship. And Peter raises him up and said, stand up. I am a man also, just like you. It's not of me. Peter said, it's not of me. Cornelius says in verse 33, we're here in the presence, in the sight of God, to hear all things commanded thee by God. That's the authority. When Peter tells him what God said, he's obedient to the gospel. Paul comes along later. Paul wasn't in the midst of Jesus prayed for in John 17 that we mentioned a while ago, thy word I've given unto thee. Thy word I give to them, the apostles. But Paul, nevertheless, received his word straight from Jesus Christ. In Galatians 1, Paul says, I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which is preached by me, that it is not after man, neither did I receive it from man, neither was I taught it. But it came to me by revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said, my gospel is from Jesus Christ. Everything I say is the authority of God's word. It's not man's, no matter who that man is. Paul, in his first missionary journey, Acts 14, comes to Lystra, a crippled man there, and he heals him. And when Paul heals this crippled man, the reaction of the people of Lystra, they speak in the language of the Laodiceans. And they say, the gods come among us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, which is Zeus, which is God. That's a Greek god. And they called Paul Mercury, which in the original language is Hermes, from which word we get hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the exegesis of God's word, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of the temple of Jupiter brought oxen and garlic in to offer sacrifice with the multitudes. And when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard it, they rent their clothes and appeared in the midst of the multitude and said, sirs, why do you do these things? We are men of like passions of you. And we bring you glad tidings that you may turn from these vain things unto the living God who made the heavens, the earth, and the seas, and all that's in them. Paul says the word I bring is God's authoritative word that turns men from worshiping men, worshiping idols. Idols have no authority. Men have no authority. I turn you to God, the living God, where all authority is. The authority is God's word. As I mentioned before, he speaks of his authority, which God gave him, which the Lord gave him, both in 2 Corinthians 10 and 2 Corinthians 13. The elders, what authority do the elders have? They have the same authority Jesus had by their example and their teachings. It is not command authority. Some people seem to think elders have command authority. But to prove that's not true, all they have to do is command some brother to do something he doesn't want to do. And he doesn't do it. That's not command authority. The authority of elders is their example of godly living men. They live according to the word of God. And when we see their life, we see, I will emulate their life. And we hear their teaching, and it is the teaching of God in truth. And that's authority. 1 Peter 5, verse 1 to 3. Verse 1, Peter speaking to the elders, says himself is a fellow elder and a witness of suffering of Christ and the partaker of the glory that will be revealed. He says in verse 2, tend the flock of God which is among you. Tend is the word to shepherd. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, exercising the oversight. Not by contention, but willingly, according to the will of God. They are to shepherd the flock. They're to exercise the oversight according to what? The authoritative word, the will of God. Reading on. Nor filthy lucre, but readiness of mind. Verse 3. Neither as lording it over the charge allotted unto them, but making themselves examples to the flock. That's spiritual leadership. That's spiritual leadership. The example of a godly man that has conformed his life to the authoritative word of God, and when he opens his mouth, he speaks God's word. And those men are men that we willingly follow. Spiritual leadership is leadership of a man that we see that we're willing to follow. I'll follow that man because of his life, his example, and his teaching. Husbands have the same authority. Their example and their teaching. In Ephesians 5, 22 and following, says, wives, be in subjection to your husbands as unto the Lord. Any wife that is not in subjection to her husband is in rebellion to the Lord. Clear and simple. Wives, be in subjection to your husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, being the Savior of the body. As the church is subject to Christ, let the wife be also unto her husband in all things. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it by the washing of water and the word, that he might present the church unto himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle nor any other thing, but being holy and sanctified. A wife is to be in subjection to her husband. That doesn't give him command authority. She subjects herself to her husband because he has proven, just like Jesus. Whatever Jesus did in this passage is what God says husbands are to do. And Jesus said he sanctified the church by the washing of water and the word, that he might present the church himself a glorious church. That's what husbands are to do with their wives. Sanctify them. How? The washing of the water and the word, so that you can present them to Jesus on judgment day, holy and pure, without blemish. You do that by example and by teaching God's word. Any of us husbands and fathers that don't teach our children daily are missing the point. It's our responsibility. to present our wives holy. It's also our responsibility, we don't have time to talk about it, present our children holy. The responsibility is the father's. And the father that is this type of a father, a woman will willingly be in subjection to him. But that subjection is because she sees somebody that is worthy to follow. That doesn't mean she has an excuse not to follow him. She's in subjection to him in worship to Christ, not to her husband. Husbands love the wives, even if they're not lovely, because we're serving God. Remember what I said the last time. The authority of God is seen in the silence of Scripture as well as in the commandments of Scripture. That's what people fail, or many people fail, to see in the authority of God. God doesn't have to forbid something when God tells you what to do. That eliminates everything else. And as I said, if you don't respect that, you don't respect the sovereignty of God. In Galatians 3, verse 15, he says, though it were but a man's covenant, once it has been confirmed, nobody makes it void nor adds to it. When you make a covenant, when you make a contract with anybody, once that's signed, if anybody changes that minutely, that contract is made void. When you add anything to what God said, you void the covenant. When you add anything or change anything, you void the covenant. Any deviation proves we don't trust God's authority. And that's a big problem in the world today. Jesus is the light of the world, and that light is the Word of God. Are we walking in that light? Have we been obedient to that gospel light? Some may have never come to that. Today you have the opportunity. Listen to what God said through Jesus Christ and through his prophets and apostles and his preachers and teachers. Whatever God said, that's what we do. Come to Jesus. Be baptized into Christ if you're a believer. And if you're repentant of your sins. And if you will accept Jesus as your Lord and Master. His authoritative word says you be baptized to wash away your sins. And after that, you live a new life. Don't be deceived by the deceits in this world who do not accept the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you need to come to Jesus, if you need to put yourself under the authority of God, come this morning while we stand and sing.